Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. And today we're continuing with our series on spiritual discernment for pastors, Christians, and Christian leaders. And today's topic will be, what's wrong with exploring the other side? What's wrong with getting involved in the occult? And there are a lot of Bible verses on that. And we're going to go deep into God's Word today about this fascinating topic. So hang on there, get your pens, your Bibles, and your notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. So today's topic's the occult. What's wrong with exploring the other side? And we're going to say there's a lot wrong with it. And so please get your notebooks out. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the glory of God that hovers over the nations. We thank you that you're at work in the world. We thank you for the gospel that goes out to all nations all the time, and that you have sent your messages throughout this world to proclaim your word. We now ask that we will be strengthening them, that we will be blessing them, that your word will go forth in this broadcast and help people to help others. And we ask that you will bless this broadcast, that you will keep us spiritually safe, that this broadcast will be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll be no negative consequences from it, because you are a protector. You are our God. So, Lord, we ask that your blessing, 100% blessing, will be over this broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only true path to spiritual things, but we get fascinated with other ways. We get fascinated with aliens, Ouija boards, and all sorts of things, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So no other religion is true, and no other idol is true, and no other way of being a spiritual person is true. Participating in the occult is very dangerous. Not just because of what may or may not occur and inviting spirits into your life, etc., but because it brings down God's anger on you and your children for up to 3 or 4 generations. And in Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5, it says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the 3rd and 4th generations of those who hate me. And what is hating God? Hating God is turning to idols and other systems. If you turn away from God to some idol, some shaman, some village form of witchcraft, the Bible says you are hating God because you are turning to another lover. You are loving things other than God, and God is a jealous God, and he does not take that. He does not take this other worship that's going on. When Israel was about to go into the promised land, Moses gave these warnings against being involved with idols, images, or occult practices, and you find it in Deuteronomy 7, verses 23 to 26. I'll repeat that. Deuteronomy 7, verses 23 to 26. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you, deliver the enemies over to you, and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you till you have destroyed them. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. You shall not bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. Now, I'll tell you a story. We had a relative whose husband brought an idol into the house. The idol was a kind of African idol with very red lips of a woman. And that same week, he committed adultery and destroyed the marriage. The spirit in the idol was a sensual spirit, and the sensual spirit, the seductive spirit, got into this man. And that same week was the end of it. He ran off with a very inappropriate woman who worked in a bar and all that kind of thing. And this sensual idol had a spiritual power that destroyed that marriage. Later on, when my wife and I went into that house, we noticed this idol. We asked the questions about it. And I prayed over that idol with anointing oil. I put the anointing oil on the top of the idol. And as I prayed, the idol went gray and the lips that were bright red went gray as well. And all the power went out of the idol. We cast the demon out of that idol. And that idol was a cursed thing and it brought a curse to that house. And that man is still estranged from his wife and family to this day. It led to a divorce and lots of painful economic circumstances. Do not bring an idol into your house, because those idols have spirits dwelling in them that afflict pain, damage, and destruction, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We notice the penalty for bringing an object of occult worship into one's house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it, for it is an accursed thing. Idols carry the curse of God on them, and so do Ouija boards, tarot cards, things used in satanic rituals, crystal balls, magic books, divination instruments, etc. When these things are present in your home, alcoholism, mental illness, chronic diseases, and even suicide will soon follow. You must get that kind of stuff out of your house. You must do what they did in Acts 19 and burn all the instruments of divination and idols. Idols are to be destroyed. You are not to covet the silver or gold on them, but you are to burn them and utterly destroy them. And you're not to get your cards done. You're not to have your palm read. You're not to do your horoscope. And Leviticus 20 and verse 6 says this: "And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people." Okay, so when you turn to mediums, spiritists, people doing divination and horoscopes and such things, it's so serious that it resulted in God's wrath falling in a particularly severe form, being banished forever from Israel, being cut off from the people of God, loss of salvation. So when you turn away to these spirits, you're going outside the people of God, you're cut off from the people of God. Your name is erased from the names of those who have book of life, those who belong to the people of God, because you have turned after things that are wicked and terrible. You must repent. You must get rid of that stuff right now. Here's some verses about the occult in the Old Testament and New. We don't have time to get through them all, but we'll try and get 10 or 12 of them. There's many, many, many verses. So let's look at one from Leviticus 19, 26 to 31. "You shall not eat anything with the blood," that's in a ritual sacrifice, "nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard." That's for ritual purposes. Of course, you can shave without too much trouble. "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor any tattoo any marks in you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." And these are practices back in the Old Testament that brought the wrath of God. And so you're not to get tattoo marks for the dead. You're not to consult mediums and familiar spirits. You're not to go anywhere near idols. And you're not to practice divination or soothsaying. Leviticus 20 verse 6, "And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people." Deuteronomy 7 verse 5, "But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire." So how are we to deal with them? We are to utterly destroy all these occultic objects. So you must destroy them. And it says in Deuteronomy 7:25, "You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire," and put them in the fire. Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 to 14, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire or one who practices witchcraft or a soothsayer or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer or one who conjures spells or a medium or a spiritist or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord your God drives them out from before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. So, well, what's it saying there? It's saying quite clearly and quite bluntly that the involvement in soothsayers and divination caused these nations to fall before Israel. It was an unholy practice, and the unholy practice led them to become losers. They lost the war. They were defeated. They were cast out of the land because God brought Joshua and the people in to destroy those people for those practices, because those practices were an offense to the Lord God Almighty, because there's only one God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And there's no sun god, moon god, god of the trees, etc. There's only one God. There's no Baal, no Ashtaroth. All these false gods like Zeus and the ones you see in the movies, Thor and all those gods, they are just made-up gods, made up by men. They have no truth to them whatsoever. And you need to know that. You need to know there is only one true living God, the great creator God, and his son Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you're not to worship anything else at any other time. So we find that in Old Testament history, this resulted in tremendous wrath against Israel, so that when they did get into all this stuff, when they eventually did get into all the idols, they were kicked out of the land for doing so. It brought on the siege of Jerusalem. It brought down the Assyrians and Babylonians. Tremendous judgment came upon Israel, so it was kicked out of the land and occupied and never really got the land back except for briefly under the Maccabees until the modern day. So Israel was cast out for its idolatry. So we find here in 2 Kings 17:17 the explanation of why God's wrath came upon Israel. And they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire, practice witchcraft and soothsaying, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And God became angry and brought these other nations against them to destroy them for their idolatry and their witchcraft. And then it says here, and he caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying and used witchcraft and sorcery and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. That's 2 Chronicles 33:6. So people who do these things provoke God to anger. And I'm sure if you're listening to this broadcast, you don't want to make God angry. So if you don't want God angry against you to destroy you and your family for 3 or 4 generations, if you don't want God to cast you out of the land, if you don't want diseases, madness, insanity, and addictions over your house, then you need to get rid of every form of divination, soothsaying, all this kind of crazy stuff that's going on. You need to put away charms. You need to put away bracelets. You need to put away amulets. You need to get rid of all the juju in your house and in your yard, because that provokes God to wrath. Some people think they will sell their house easier if they plant a statue of Joseph upside down in the backyard. That kind of nonsense is an offense to God. If you want to sell your house, pray to God. Give him praise and thanksgiving and believe in him. And it's also the false prophets. It says, Isaiah 8:19, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? Certainly not. That's why you're not to ask advice from ancestors. You're not to pray to the ancestors, because we're not to seek the dead on behalf of the living. It's there in Isaiah 8:19. And Jeremiah 14:14, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, a divination, a worthless thing, the deceit of their heart. So there are people out there who are false prophets that are not speaking from the Lord. They're speaking from their own heart and their own mind. They're not speaking to you truth in any way, shape, or form. And they will try and get into churches by saying a prophet. But when you listen to them, you think these people are speaking from the flesh and not from the spirit. Okay. And it says, therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. And this is typical of false prophets. They say, oh, it's all going to be good. A new thing's going to happen in your life. Everything is going to be breakthrough. And they don't tell you that your sins are going to have consequences. And here Jeremiah is saying, yes, Jerusalem is going to be occupied by the king of Babylon. Israel is going to go into exile. This is going to happen. And these sorcerers and diviners who speak lies to you, they're telling you false things. They're just getting up your hope to get a donation from you. Ezekiel 12:24, for no more shall there be any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. So these people who give you visions and divinations, they do so to flatter you, to boost your ego. They don't tell you to repent. They don't tell you about the sins in your life. They don't tell you to get straight before God. They just give you a flattering divination. There's a lot of other verses like that. Here you go, Ezekiel 13:18, it says, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? So all those charms, all those things you use for love potions or for money or for get a promotion, and the women make these things and they sew them onto your clothing so you'll have spiritual power. Here it says in Ezekiel 13, verse 18, do not ever engage in those kinds of practices. Ezekiel 13 and verse 20, therefore says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like birds. I'll tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. In Ezekiel 13, 23, therefore you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I'll deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know I am the Lord. And here in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they did not fear me. But he'll come swiftly in judgment against the sorcerers and those who practice magic. Well, what do we say? You might say, oh, that's just the Old Testament, Pastor John. What about the New? Well, we find it in Acts chapter 19:19. It continues the narrative. And of course, we know that the Bible always tells us to flee from idols. Here in Acts 19:19, there was a great revival in Ephesus after the sons of Sceva could not cast out the demons. Seven sons of Sceva couldn't do it, but Paul's people could. And they saw there's a spiritual authority in Paul. Acts 19:19. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. A piece of silver was a day's wage, so 50,000 days' wages. So, say a day's wage in America is about $100. So that's about $5 million here in American value, and I don't know what that is in the value of the country you're in. But it's a lot of money. So 50,000 pieces of silver, all this stuff, they just burned it. They didn't keep it. They took all the value of these enormously valuable manuscripts of occult matter and they just destroyed them. Revelation 21 and verse 18, we're getting towards the back of the Bible now. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Now the liar is here someone who is telling lies about God, false doctrine and things, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And further on in that chapter, Revelation 22:15, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. So the sorcerers and the idolaters are outside. They're cast into darkness. They're cast into the lake of fire. The spiritual consequences of idolatry, of sorcery, are condemnation. They're being cast out from the presence of God. They're thrown into a lake of fire. They are destroyed eternally, and they dwell in eternal torment. So you don't want that. So you don't want to worship idols. You don't want to keep idols in your house. You don't want to get involved in sorcery or magic charms or anything like that. That is a wicked, evil, and terrible thing to be involved in. And you must repent of that. So let's look at what we should do as Christians as we're heading towards the end of this broadcast, a little under 10 minutes left. What shall we do as a Christian? The early church used to have a part of the baptismal formula. Before they got baptized, they'd have to say this: I renounce all the works of the devil. And you need to do that. You need to renounce the works of the devil, and you have to have someone to go through and pray over you for all demonic influence in your life to be gone. You have to say, I renounce all the works of the devil. I renounce all idols. I renounce all witchcraft. I renounce all magic charms. I will have no part of that in my life. And those becoming Christians were required to destroy any idols or charms or magic books that they own. And because of this, these sins, idolatry, witchcraft, and magic, are abominations. They're very offensive to God. They're listed among the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. And those who do such things have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. We need to get rid of them, and we need to get rid of them for good. Okay, so what do? We do a personal inventory of both your involvement and your family's involvement in the occult. And for instance, if your grandmother could tell fortunes, or an uncle who was into real magic, dark black magic, or were your parents members of an organization such as the Spiritualist Church. And remember that these curses can go down the third and fourth generations, and you need to break these curses, according to Galatians 3, 10 to 14, you need to break the curses through the cross of Jesus Christ. You need to claim the ancestral curses are broken through the cross of Jesus Christ. And you need to confess all the sin in your family to God, as well as your own sin, and say that you are no longer a participant. You reject the work of the devil. You reject your family's involvement in the occult while still loving the members of your family. I'm not asking you to reject your family. I'm just saying that you confess to God that their involvement in the occult was wrong and it was evil and you don't want anything with it. The next step that you will want to do is you want to destroy everything that's associated with the occult. And that can include precious things like a jade Buddha or temple wind chimes or tarot cards or magic books, demon masks, certain music that is full of occult lyrics or things with pentagrams on it, such as the five-pointed occult star, astrology books, love magic, charms, books from cults such as the JW or Mormons. If you've got a copy of the Mormon Bible or the Book of Mormon, burn it. When in doubt, destroy it. Get rid of all these things that you might have in your house, all the juju, all the idols, every little thing that you've used for magic. It can be all sorts of things. I know of, you know, someone using a little sculpture that looks like a dragon, and they burn cigarette smoke in it and they mutter spells, and those spells seem to have real effect. There's many, many different kinds, depending on the country, depending on the region. I cannot list it all here, but you, with your local knowledge, will know what is not of God. And if it's not of God, get rid of it. If it's from a foreign religion, get rid of it. Many people are trapped by the value of these items because they're expensive or they're historical. And they say, oh, this is covered with gold or silver, or this is a very rare book. But the Ephesians Christians didn't worry about the value. They didn't worry about those 50,000 drachmas. They said, let's get rid of all these evil books. Let's get rid of the evil from our city. And they burned it and they destroyed it. And Deuteronomy 7:25, which I've read, says we're not to covet the silver or gold that is on them. If you've got something and you say, oh, this is a valuable historical thing, I can't possibly burn it. Remember, the will of God is more important. And it's the devil's lying to you. The demon in that idol is lying to you. They're trying to convince you to hold on to it. I remember a family I was trying to help, and I said, you've got to burn all this stuff. The house was full of all this junk and stuff. They were doing into the feng shui, and they had every idol imaginable. I said, oh, you've got to get rid of it. So they put it in the garage. I said, no, you've got to get rid of it. So they put them in bags in the garage. And I said, no, you've got to get rid of it. They never got rid of it. And their house was all sorts of financial troubles came upon them. And they were always after money. And their real idol was money, and that's where God afflicted them in their finances. He judged them, and everything they wanted fell apart because they refused to get rid of these idols. So the other thing is you need to renew yourself in God. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you need to know the spiritual power that's from God and serve Him. Now, if you would like a prayer, if you would like something to help you with this that you can pass around to people, I'll give you a website now where you can download a prayer PDF and print it out and pray it for yourself and your family. Here it is. Just if you've got pen and paper, write it down. www.globalchristians.org/cleansing, CLEANSING. So I'll give you that web address again, Global Christians, that's plural, globalchristians.org/cleansing. Global Christians, all one word, globalchristians.org/cleansing. Now write that down and you can pass that around to your friends and family. I've had thousands and thousands of people download that prayer and it's been very effective. It's like a spiritual antibiotic. You pray it twice a day for 3 weeks and you confess your sins, get rid of idols, come back, do it again, and God will bring new things to mind. And you just do it. It only takes a couple of minutes twice a day and it will gradually cleanse your mind and your spirit from the effects of the occult in your life. And you will find yourself very blessed, and many people say it's really, really transformed their life. It's free. There's no cost to it whatsoever. It's absolutely free, and you should be able to be very blessed and encouraged by that prayer. I'll give you the website again, just in case you didn't get it earlier, globalchristians.org/cleansing. So globalchristians is one word, in one word, .org/cleansing. And it doesn't matter if it's uppercase or lowercase. That doesn't matter in the Bible. Just make sure you got that correct. It doesn't matter in the internet, rather. Just make sure you get it, that web address down. Repent of your involvement in idols. Pray various prayers to break off the curses from your life and stand tall in the presence of God. You don't need idols. You don't need magic. God is sovereign. God is gracious. God is good. He will work all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so you don't have to worry about that. God will work things around. Idols just give you a shortcut. They seem to work, but they don't work because outwardly you prosper, but inwardly you're cursed. And you certainly don't want to end up in the lake of fire. You don't want to end up taking the mark of the beast. You don't want to end up following the various idols of this world, because that's how God's wrath and God's anger comes upon you and on your household, on your family, and not even on your children to the third and fourth generations. So stay away from idols, divination, witchcraft, and all forms of occult and false teaching, and God will bless you in your ways. It says in the New Testament, flee idols. It says that in quite a few places. Run away from them. They're not going to help you. They're a false hope. When you're desperate, they seem like a real hope because you're impatient, you're in a hurry, you want to grab something, something that's worked for people in your culture for generations, but it doesn't work. God has better plans. God's plans are slower, but they're better. So trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust that God's going to work everything good for you. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. Oh, and the website again, globalchristians.org/cleansing. God bless you all. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.